der Simple Focus mit Elvis Cerny und Dominik Gilder. For live and joy and deep.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cerny and Dominik Godad.
Yeehaw! Welcome back, everyone, to episode number 64. We are here in Klagenfurt, Austria today with Ute Habenicht and Norbert Wandel. Hello, the two of you.
Hello.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here. We've been here for the weekend. We did a nice hike yesterday, and now we're sitting in a seminar room of the Wandel House, and Wandel in German means change. So it's the house where change can happen and where change is happening.
Ute and Norbert are dear friends of us for many years. We are together in the Austrian Solution Circle. We had a very inspiring time last year when Dominik and I ran our solution-focused leadership conference, our online conference, and Ute came up with this brilliant idea. Oh, wow, you're doing this online conference. So maybe we can do a long night of solution-focused leadership. And when Ute says something, she just goes and does it. So in November, Norbert and Ute in their beautiful house where people gather, where people come together, had this long night of solution-focused leadership, and we were invited via Zoom to be part of it. And you had several other people who did mini workshops around solution-focused leadership. This is part of your work as well. So the two of you, you're not only a beautiful couple, you're not only hosting people in your house of change, you are also working as consultants and coaches with the systemic approach, with solution focus, and also with constellation work. And we are very much looking forward to talk about that and more today in our podcast with you.
So let's start. What fascinates you both with solution focus?
Thanks first for the invitation to this podcast. We're very happy to have you here after we've been in contact over the year when you were traveling. And we're very happy that we are one of the first stops in Europe. So you're hosting a workshop in this house tomorrow. What fascinates me about the solution-focused approach, I was just thinking about what you just said when we were hosting the long night of the solution-focused leadership. The most sparkling thing which came into my mind was that people in our house were doing, wasn't a workshop, it was just little inspiring spots around the house, in the garden with a fireplace, on the steps with a scale, in the living room with you both on the screen. So this is probably what we really like about the solution-focused approach, that using these sparkling moments to make something to happen and make change happen immediately. So when people experience this long night of solution-focused, I think they just thought, yeah, change has happened already, and it just continues to happen when they go home. And I think that's what we do in our workshop, and that's what inspires us so much. These little steps on the, if it's the scale in the Wandel House or in the real life, these little steps which make a difference immediately, and this using of the sparkling moments. I think that's, yeah, probably that's what inspires me most.
And people not only highlight change when they go out, but even when they come in. We're sitting here in your seminar room, and there's this nice question that you used in your last workshop. What strengthened you despite everything, right from the beginning when they come in, focusing on things that were already useful for them?
Yes, we just had this workshop last week with women. I'm hosting solution-focused year groups for self-employed women. And they're coming here, and the first thing they say, is, I knew you were going to ask one of those questions. And I was already thinking about those questions the last 2 days. And actually, I was just quite impressed how much has changed since I've started this group. So that's the one thing. And sometimes women come and they are like full of maybe a hard day, and they are stressed, or they had an event in the family they were sad or stressed about. And then when I added this, despite of everything, I think this is a good way to help people not to think that it's just positive thinking, you know, or positive talk. This really makes a change for the women. They are at the end of a hard day's work, and then they come here and they know, that's a good question. Really surprised how much comes into their mind. So even if they come just like 4 times a year, they keep those questions in mind, and it changes something throughout the year, actually.
And I think it's a lovely invitation, as you say, to invite people to think about the little things that go well despite the troubles. I also see it as kind of invitation to refocus and also to plant seeds to help refocus during the day, during the weeks, between the groups. So Norbert, what fascinates you about solution focus?
Before, thank you and a warm welcome to you, Elfie and Dominic. Nice to see you here in our house. We're very proud you are here. I like so much in solution-focused work when somebody comes for a coaching or for a systemic constellation work. And when we start with the people, I ask, what is the topic? So I open the room where they can speak, where they want to go further steps. And sometimes it's very interesting. People come and have so many views from their problem. They could speak from this view and from that view, and they can speak what is not going well. And the problem is another world than the solution. And I find it so very interesting to lead the people to the solution, to leave the problem in their mind, and to take them by hand and make a walk with them here in the room. We don't walk, but in mind, and bring them to possibilities of solutions. And this is what I like very much. So sometimes it seems to me that it's the first time they can see a solution to their problem.
So you said you metaphorically take their hand and walk with them. So how do you do that? What do you do there?
To ask questions. At first, I think it's very important to acknowledge the problem, but then to lead them away from the problem, to open other doors. And I think this is our job as consultants, to open the doors to solution and not to stay with them in the problem talk, in the room of problems.
And you say acknowledging the problems. I think one of the big misunderstandings of people who just hear about solution focus, that solution focus practitioners don't acknowledge a problem and just from the first moment on refocus to something else, and acknowledging the problem can be very important. So how do you exactly do that, and when do you leave and take them with you to another focus?
To acknowledge the problem can be kind of ritual sentence to say, oh, you had a very hard time, you did it very good, but it was a really hard time for you. And then you make a stop, you say nothing for some seconds, and then you go in another mood. And so it's a kind of change. The program is changing.
Dominic, Norbert and I, together with Rolf Katzenberger, are co-hosting the Austrian Solution Circle online peer group. And knowing you, it's not just saying it in a kind of ritual way, but also meaning it.
Yes, yes. It's not only just simple sentences. It must come from the heart. And so in the client feels it comes from the heart. I really feel that what I say, that's very important. And not to say, yeah, very nice, yes. No, I say what I feel. I think it's important to speak it like that. It's a feeling, yeah.
It's also this question that we just heard before. What strengthened you in the days before, despite everything? These two little words inserted in this question, despite everything, kind of acknowledging, well, that life can be rough, there can be many things happening, and still focusing on things that strengthened you or on preferred future or other focuses that lead you away from this problem view. So how do you go on after this acknowledgement?
I begin to construct with the client a world of solution. There are different ways you can ask with scale questions. You can ask the miracle question. Let's speak about a world where things work well. What is it? Who will know that? How you will know that? And so to be friendly but straight, if the client goes in the problem again, so not, hey, you may not speak about the problem. No, very friendly to lead him back again in the solution. And so it goes step by step. You create a new world, and the client is not used. He knows the world which is dark and foggy, but to lead him in a world where it's a beautiful day with sunshines, just some few clouds, it's a nice spring day like today.
Yeah, and unfortunately, most clients don't come with, oh, it's everything great, and I want just to observe that and reflect that. They mostly come from a different world when they come to consultants, when they come to coaches, when they come to us.
Ute, how do you do that, or what else are you doing?
So it's very nice that we're here in our seminar room, because many people come here, and especially our year group participants, they come here and say, ah, just coming here, just entering the house, having a small coffee first in the Wandel kitchen in our house, and then coming up here to a different level, they say it's already a change to them. What they also say, just being here, they don't have to perform here, they don't have to show off in front of the other people here, they don't have to be the best one, they can just tell their stories and get a feedback on whatever they do at the moment.
To make that possible, the two of you are doing a lot of things. So if you want to share some of those things that you're doing that invites people to feel, you didn't mention home, but this is really like the two of us feel like, oh, here it's home. It's a safe place. It's a place where I can be the person I am or I want to be. And yeah, I don't have to perform. So what are you doing here to open the space?
I think already by being hosts, I know this term of hosts is being used a lot also in the solution-focused world at the moment, but we have felt ourselves as hosts ever since we are hosts of the systemic constellations and also in our house. So that's really an attitude of being a host. Everyone who comes here is welcome and is welcome with whatever he or she brings. And this attitude of welcomeness is a very important value. I don't know what to say. It's not an attitude. It's just a being of us, I think.
And we noticed that from the beginning on. You have to know that the Wandelhaus is not only a seminar center, it's also Ute and Norbert's home. And it's also home of people who stay here for a while. You have actors here who perform and they come here and then they stay here for a while, then leave again, and other people coming. And you have on the first floor your offices, and right when you come in and take a left turn, you're in this beautiful kitchen and the garden. When we came in, it was the first thing that we saw, this inviting space, and we got a coffee and you smiled at us and talked at us, and then one of your guests came down and you told us about his brilliance and how you just love to see how the change from when he came to now performing on stage and designing on stage, and kind of this huge appreciation, all those little details of opening your house to other people and really making it in a way that we and probably all the others feel very much invited to be here and to use all the things. Just this morning or yesterday evening, Norbert said, well, the guests I like the most are the ones who just take what they need and feel at home. And yeah, it really makes us feel at home here too.
Yeah, and what I additionally see is doing a lot for connecting people. The two of you, wherever I meet you, wherever we see each other, it's connecting people. It's thinking of connections. It's making connections. And what does it mean? It's talking in an appreciative way about others, showing where there might be shared interests. And this is what we see you doing since we are here and what we see you doing since we know you. And connection, I think, is also a big part of the work you do in the systemic constellation. So I'm curious and would love to hear more about your way into solution focus, because I think it has a lot to do with systemic structural constellation work. So how did you get where you are?
We started at first with constellation work and then with solution focus work, because in our school of the Süst Institute München, Munich, it's very important to think solution focused.
So the two of you are trained by Insa Spara and Vaga von Kibet in Munich.
Yes, and there we learned the thinking of solution focused. We made a 4 years course in systemic and structure work, and we thought we will learn more about solution focused. And so we're specialized in two things. This is systemic structure work and also solution focused work.
Well, and Vaga von Kibet and Steve DeShazer were very close friends, and I think they inspired each other a lot. Yeah.
Yes, they were. They were both big lovers of Ludwig Wittgenstein, and I think they were discussing a lot about that. Probably Matthias Vaga von Kibet talked a little bit more than Steve DeShazer. I think they both appreciated a lot their companionship, and Steve De Schaeser and Insel Kimberg have been teaching at the Süst Institute in Munich, and that's where Insel actually was inspired to use the solution-focused way. Actually, what Insel and Matthias did is combine the constellation work with the solution-focused approach, because before that, the constellation work has been more in a systemic problem-focused way, more past-oriented, and what Insa and Matthias did, they brought the constellation work into a solution-focused way, and that's a really big work of them, and that's how we use constellation work.
And tonight we'll have a constellation evening, so what will we be seeing, how you combine solution-focused and constellation work there?
Well, what you will be seeing is people standing around in a room. The combination is that we do a solution-focused interview before the constellation. We call it interview, but actually it's a solution-focused coaching before the constellation session.
So Dominic and I will experience that today in the afternoon.
Yes, that's
right.
We're
the clients.
Yes, you are the clients. You ask for a constellation, so we are hosting a constellation for you.
When we have our monthly constellation evening, we always have two constellations with two clients, or with maybe sometimes with two groups of clients. The topic on this day today is to make it a constellation work with business topics. So you can use it for very personal topics, but you also can use it for business.
So it starts with a solution-focused interview, solution-focused coaching, and I guess we talk about our preferred future, about things that already work towards that and things like that. And then how does it go on?
What goes on afterwards depends on the question. So, of course, we ask for the preferred future, for the resources, and a lot of those parts we were talking of in the interview are also then seen in the room. So, for example, if someone has a goal, we put the goal in the room. So one person stands for the goal and one person stands for the client. So maybe for the first time in the life, the client really sees the goal. And mostly for the first time, the goal talks to the client, which is quite a nice experience. But then also we bring into the room the resources who are supporting the person to come to that goal. But also sometimes there is obstacles, so there would be one representative for the obstacle in the room. So the client brings all these parts of his idea of the goal, because actually if it was just a goal, he would just go there. So probably there is some obstacle, and it's good to see what the obstacle wants to turn in, because very often the obstacle is a resource. Maybe the obstacle reminds the client not to go too fast, or maybe it hides some sort of message which turns out to be a resource. So this sort of work is a little bit hard to get out just by talking. So if you ask the client just by talking, what do you think the obstacle is good for at the moment? He says, I don't know. I don't want the obstacle. I just want to go to the goal. But if the client then sees in the constellation that the obstacle maybe is just on the wrong place and is maybe just in the future and it belongs in the past, or the obstacle turns out, as I said, to be a resource in the real world, then the client can just think of the obstacle in a new way and sees the goal in a new way and feels more resourceful because the client has seen the resources as well. So that's part of the idea in the constellation work.
So it's really about seeing and experiencing this whole scene of preferred future, goal, resources, small next steps, signs of progress, all the things, not only experiencing them by talking, but really by seeing them in the room with real people standing there, and also asking them to respond and to just see what they say in this moment. I've experienced quite some constellations in the past, and there are many different ways. In most of them, clients were outside just watching. How do you include the client?
The client sit outside, but we are always in contact with them. So after the first picture, when we asked all the representatives, we asked, is it the right film? We are here.
So when I as clients see something and say, oh, this has nothing to do with my world, what do you do?
We would start again, but it never happened. Mostly the client says, yes, it's the right picture. Or sometimes they say, most of the things are right, but not everything. But this is also a good reason to go on. And then we are in contact. The whole constellation work, which takes about 1 to 1.5 hours, maybe a little bit longer, we are in contact. And if there is a sequence which is very important, we go in contact and ask, do you have an idea what it could mean for you? Or sometimes we ask, at this point, do you have questions to any one of the systems? Or sometimes we bring them in the constellation and they stand behind their focus and have for a short moment a very important part of the constellation. They have the view of their focus and then we ask them to leave again and sit down. When we have a good solution picture and we think it's a good time to end it, then we take the client in the picture and we make a ritual where the client goes on the place of his focus or her focus and the person who was the focus leaves the picture and then the client can take all the picture in his mind, in his heart, in his body.
How do you choose the representatives?
We don't choose them. We have a lot of people who always come as representatives. We have always new people who weren't here before and the client chooses and we ask them not to think about it. What could be the right person for my focus in this question or for another representative? We ask them to don't think, just choose. You cannot make something wrong.
So this is a start. So the client chooses and then the people are representatives for the goal, for the person, for the resources. And I guess this also makes something with the people who are the representatives. So how do you support them during and also after the constellation?
What is very important for us is that everybody leaves the constellation work, the client and their representatives in a very good mood. There is no need that they have problems. And if a representative goes too much in the role and feels very bad, we ask him to come a little bit out of that and call him or her by the name. So it's a possibility to bring him out of the representative. And afterwards we make rituals. We ask them to tap on the body, to drink a glass of water, to remember the name of their parents or the child. It doesn't matter what, but to bring the person back in his life. It's so important that everybody leaves our constellation in a good mood. And we also prevent that this happens, that we don't go in problems in the constellation work. We go in solutions. And if we see a problem, for example, if we work to a theme which belongs to the family and we see maybe there was something, big problem and whatever, we don't have to go in this problem. We say, oh, there was something, we don't know what it was, and we go in a solution and the resources.
I just want to add something. I think what's also important in this, we work in a very appreciative way and we don't interpret a lot. And also we work, as Norbert said, most of the time the representatives don't even know what they are standing for. So it's very difficult to go very deep in some representation if you don't know what you're standing for. They just tell about the differences in the body and in the thoughts and in the ideas. So we focus on the differences. That's very solution focused too and very systemic. We don't and say it is like this, we just ask for differences. And when you said after the constellation, what we also do is that we always tell our guests, people who are there for being part of the representations, we always ask them if there is something which stays with them, like part of the representation stays in their body, which sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes happens. We always ask to contact us immediately after the constellation in the kitchen where we gather to have a drink together and have some food for the people too, as we are hosts in many ways. So we always ask them to contact us if there is anything where they're not sure about. Is it sort of a rest of the constellation? So the people feel very safe here, and very rarely, maybe twice in all this, maybe now 10 years we're working with that, a client contacted us afterwards and said, there's something still there and help me to get out. And we, of course, can help them to get out even more.
So there are many other ways of doing systemic constellation work. And you told us about solution-focused moments like this interview in the beginning, like the resources, like the goal. How else do you use solution-focused during the constellation?
Sometimes we even ask the representative solution-focused questions. So we ask them, how would you know that you could see the goal better? Or what difference would it make when you see the goal? So we ask solution-focused questions during the constellation. And sometimes we also make something like what we call a solution-focused interview with representatives. That's especially if you need new ideas, if you want to interview different aspects of a topic. There's what we call a solution geometric interview. So we as a host sit down with the representatives, with the goal, with the resources, sometimes with the variations of a decision. We sit down and we ask them in the constellation the miracle question. And they answer the miracle question as representatives. And to hear the answers to the miracle question of a goal, of a resource, or of context factors, that's really interesting too. So we have really constellation formats which are directly rooted in the solution-focused work.
If you want to know more about that, you'll find all the resources in the resource section of this podcast. So go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode 64 and you find links to this way of doing constellation where you can learn more about that. What I would be really interested in, we talked about constellation, about how you do it. What are the differences for people, especially for the clients?
When I answer this question, I also can include the last questions. What we do in solution focus. What we do with our clients in constellation work. When they put their representatives in the picture at the beginning of the constellation, you have a form of problem view. Representatives who should look to each other don't look to each other, or maybe they are too narrow and couldn't see each other, or another representative is standing between them so that they are not in eye contact. And the goal, the finish of the constellation is a solution-focused picture where representatives who should have eye contact, where representatives who stay for not helpful things should be outside or maybe change in a resource. This all is a change from a problem view in a solution-focused view. And to your last question, the client sits in the room and watches this. So the client not only watches the pictures, the client also watches how it changes. So this is a form of solution-focused work.
And when people and clients see that, what do they say and how do they go out? What changes do you notice afterwards?
It's different. Sometimes they have a aha thinking. Sometimes they don't know what it means now and it needs a time to settle. We cannot give you a guarantee that everything is changed after constellation work, but we can give you a guarantee that somehow something will change. You have a new idea, you have a new view of your topic. And I can say all of the clients leave our constellation work with a thankful thinking to us. Thank you for your help. Sometimes they say, I know now what to do. Sometimes they say, I don't know yet what to do, but I have new ideas and it has to work in my mind.
I think they go out with more hope and more options. That's the main thing.
More hope and more options. What a beautiful summary. So, Norbert, we talked earlier about solution focus, constellation work, and you mentioned that you don't do constellation work with everyone who comes to you. So, first of all, who comes to you? And second, how do you choose what you do with the people?
There's a lot of different people coming to us. There are managers from companies, owners of companies, also private people with private problems, older people, young people, health people, ill people. So nearly everybody comes to us. The thing is, what connects them is they have a trust in us and they want to change something. And before we start the constellation work, before we start the interview, we try to find out if the constellation work is for this topic helpful. And sometimes there's another way, maybe a coaching or something. So constellation work is for us not a religion, it's one of different tools we use. If we think that's helpful, so we suggest it to the clients and the clients has to choose if he or she wants it.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that this might be helpful for a client?
Well, people contact us very often for a constellation because they know we're doing it and there's not many people who are doing it in the solution-focused way we do it. So they have heard about it and contact us, especially for a constellation. When we also suggest it to a client is when someone is really stuck in something for a long time and has thought about something for a long time and has tried different things, and by just talking or thinking, and although the client has tried everything, it somehow doesn't work out. So in this case, we can offer that in a constellation, he would get more ideas of just by talking.
So if something doesn't work, do something different.
Yes, right, in that way. But, you know, if a client contacts us for a coaching, we just do normal solution-focused coaching. And sometimes we just include in a normal coaching session just some elements of the constellation where the client, him or herself, goes in different positions and roles. So very often we use the constellation in a like single coaching session also.
Mm. So the two of you are not only working together, you're also a couple, and solution focus obviously influenced your life as well. And I know some stories of you. While you're passionate long distance hikers, and wherever you are, solution focus is with you somehow. So I'm curious, how does solution focus influence your life, and what differences does it make for you as a couple?
We have a family business as a consultant, and so we have always to take care that we don't forget that we are a couple. So before we go to sleep, we may not speak about business and things like that. And the solution focus way of thinking influences our whole life. And this is not business. Sometimes we start a day with solution focus question on a Sunday, so where there is no work. And yeah, we try to focus on solution focus our whole life. Ute is better than me in these questions. Sometimes I love to go in a problem talk and Ute is then very strength to me. But sometimes I love it. But most of the time I'm also in solution-focused way of thinking.
And I remember very well in December you had a very special advent calendar this year. Well, what did you do there?
That's true. Norbert invented this. We had an imaginary advent calendar where each morning one of us was allowed to open the window in the imagination and find something little, what was written in there. For example, there was written that we would go out for a small hike or to go out to the restaurant or some things. And we took turns so everyone could make little wishes come true in this advent calendar. I've forgotten about that. Thanks for remembering.
And because it was written down in the Imagine Advent calendar, so nobody can say, hey, you speak nonsense, because you can say, sorry, I read it.
Yeah, I really love this playful idea of doing things together and connecting with each other.
Yes, maybe that's another point about how solution-focused influences our life, because of course we also get stuck in our working together, but one of us always remembers, for example, our meetings, like daily meetings or meetings every other day. Last time we got stuck a little bit, they were turning out not so well. And then we just sat together and said, well, we had better meetings already. What did we do exactly then? And how did it work? And where were they? And how long were they? And how many points were we discussing? And when did we stop? So we really thought this through for a while. And then we made a new agenda of how we would make meetings between us again. And it's not about not getting stuck, it's about getting out again.
Yeah, so solution focus in everything, in private life and business life, and combined settings where we don't even know if it's private or business. Well, Elfie and I know that very well, and really, yeah, seeing solution focus as an everyday life approach. You have been on this journey for quite a long time together as a couple, in your business, in your private life. So if you look back on your journey, if there's one thing, one learning, one insight that you have not yet mentioned, but that could be useful for someone else, if he or she could hear that, that could make a difference for them in their private life or their business life, what could that be?
Yeah, maybe changing the setting is very important for me. So when I look back, always when we got stuck, we said, okay, let's change the setting. Let's go for a walk instead of sitting here. Or let's go and talk to people instead of just talking to each other. Or let's go on a trip instead of just thinking we have to work. So this change the setting as part of the solution, making the context part of the change. Maybe that's one of the things which have always helped us a lot.
Wow, what a beautiful idea to put the context in there. Very powerful. Yeah. So Norbert, what is it for you?
We were other people 5 years ago, and we will be other people in 5 years. And so this means change the whole life. And this change could be a good possibility to develop as a person. For us, it means also to develop as a couple and also to develop as colleagues. This change means for me also a possibility to develop.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So let's come to the challenge of the week.
Yes, so we come to the challenge of the week, and maybe it could have something to do with what I just said. Try to involve the context in your solution. Try to change the context if you get stuck. If you don't like cooking in the kitchen and you feel tired about it, just go outside in the garden and have a barbecue. Or if you have to study and you just have to do it, or have to write an article and you just get stuck, go and take your laptop and go to the forest or go to a coffee shop. So just little changes of the context to get you run again.
My challenge for the week is to collect friendly encounters. When you go in the supermarket, to be friendly to the lady who is on the dashboard, or you meet somebody on the street and you say hello, good morning. Just collect encounters.
Thank you very much for these beautiful challenges of the week. And we are curious, what inspired you about our conversation with Ute and Norbert? So please let us know what inspired you, what differences that makes for you, and comment on www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast, and then go to episode number 64. And please remember, what inspires you might make a vital and really important difference for someone else, because usually what inspires one person is also something important for another person.
And go and check out the resources in the resource section of this podcast. You'll find not only the website of Ute and Norbert, but also information how they do their consultation translation work, how they combine it with solution focus and more.
And you will also find how you can get to their house. They're living in the city of Klagenfurt, on the perfect spot if you ever want to come to Klagenfurt, and they offer Airbnb here as well. So don't miss the chance if you're in Austria to visit the two of them.
And we'll now go and enjoy having you as our hosts in your home, have lunch, and then we're very much looking forward to tonight and the constellation work with us as clients.
So once again, a big thank you for having us here with you, and yeah, to everyone, see you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to the Simply Focus podcast with Alfie Czerny and Dominic Godat. Your podcast for a life in joy and ease.